This is nostalgia moment. Please bear with me because this is the theme of the service this morning. I won't play all of it, but some of you will remember it. Some of you won't remember it. Okay. I'm pleased you weren't screaming and throwing things anywhere, girls. That's good. But it's the words. Those words are very prominent. I know it's just a song written by Paul McCartney and John Lennon, but if you listen to those songs are exactly what the church should be. Do you know that? I'm going to read the Bible now. And that's where I played that song, not just particularly for nostalgia. But as I sat there this morning, I felt the Spirit of God saying, "Dale, that's exactly what my church should be. Love, love me do." We're going to read God's Word because this morning Peter is telling us on our journey of 1 Peter, if you will turn to the Bible, on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 5. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Say that you, what? With a fervently. I'll always be true, John Lennon was singing. You know that I do. And the Bible is saying that we are to love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Hallelujah for the word of God, which will abide forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass, it goes away, and the flower, it fades away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Hallelujah. And when the word of the Lord endures forever, isn't it wonderful to know that when you're saved forever then? Because the word of God endures forever. And this is the word that we preached unto you. And so as we continue our series on helping us to enjoy our Christian journey, one way is to belong to a family and to love that family. That's why church is important. What did Paul do every time he went to a village? He preached the gospel, but he never left the village until he built a church. Next year, we celebrate 100 years of the Elam movement. And then 100 years ago, what would that be, 1915? Would be 1915, 100 years ago, wouldn't it? 1915, a man called George Jeffreys decided that by being filled with the Holy Spirit, he would leave Wales. And he would go through the whole of England and he would preach the gospel. And in every village that he preached the gospel, he built a church. Because as people came to know Jesus, he knew that it was most important that Christians with like things joined together, not just for services, but that they might love one another, be part of the new communion that God had designed. God designed church. God designed communion. God said to the disciples when he went to heaven, he says, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem. He didn't say, I want you to all go. He said, I want you to wait here as a family together. And the Bible tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, and all the other ladies and all the guys used to meet together. And it says they had all things in common. And they broke bread. They had fellowship one another. There was a bonding, because God never meant isolation or solo Christians. It was never his design nor his desire. So George Jeffreys wouldn't leave the village until he had formed a church. And today, 100 years next year, we're going to have a great big celebration at Birmingham Town Hall. And it's going to be a phenomenal day. I'll give you more information. As we get together and we thank God for the Elam Pentecostal movement in which you belong. Well, we give thanks for all Christian denominations, where people gather together. You see, Messy Church is called Faith, Fun and Fellowship. That's what it's called. Faith, that we will have the Word of God and we will worship God. Fun, that we do our activities. And fellowship, that we try to engage in the community this love of Jesus. But I think faith, fun and fellowship should be part of us. It should be our DNA. And Peter says some great things about love this morning, which we're going to have to examine in love. Now, we're not the finished article, and we're not perfect, and no one is saying, and no one is trying to say that we will love everyone to the same degree. What we are saying, though, the DNA inside a Christian is from 1 Peter 1:22 to 25. That is the DNA which should be embodied in us. And last time we were told these things. We were told to reverence God. We were told to do righteous works. You can see them on the board. But today there's another key area needed to help us. C.S. Lewis wrote an amazing book called Four Loves. And which C.S. Lewis explored the nature of love from a Christian and philosophical perspective. And he did it through experiments. The book was based on a set of radio talks that he held in 1958. But he was highly criticized in America because he was totally frankness about sex and the relationships that God has for this world and for his people. And so he spoke on four things about love. He spoke first of all on that one. I'm sure you know what that one is. It's an affection that you have for a family member. It's an affection that Kevin and Wendy should have for all their relatives. It's the Greek word. And there is, in essence, a love that we should have one towards another. We are a family. A family who has its ups and downs, falls out, falls in, hopefully, kisses and makes up. In the correct sense, when I say kisses and makes up, by the way, in the correct sense, but a family that will agree that we'll not always get everything right, but at the end of the day, we are valued and loved in the family. And if you don't feel valued and loved in the family, we need to address that. Because 1 Peter 2:22 to 25 says, listen, this is the major part of your journey. How are we going to continue to win the lost for Christ unless the DNA starts within this church? And he talked about, the other word is that. And that type of love. That type of love is a friendship that Curtis and I should have. It's a fellowship love. It's a more than that. It's a friendship love. Go out together. Do whatever you do, you go out with. Sometimes you're my Christian friends for meals. We have what's called a friendship love. That is between friends. Jesus had three special friends, didn't he? Peter, James and John. But he still liked the other guys. And he had a different level of friendship love depending upon the people that he had. And of course, this is, everybody knows this love. I hope it's this. And I hope, you know, it's a man and a woman. It's an eros love. It's a love which sexually attracts two people. And then from then on, they build a healthy, wholesome relationship. Keep themselves pure till the day they get married. And then when they get married, they enjoy all the benefits of that relationship. But it is between a man and a woman. Not between anyone else. That's a relationship that if you're married, you should be enjoying. And if you're not enjoying it on your journey, well, then you need to restock and rethink. God brought a man and a woman together so that they might love one another, be a companion to one another, both of them having equal say in the household, both being a companion, both being having loved and valued. This is the love which we want for the church. This is the DNA love which we need. It's an unconditional love, which only God can give. And as Peter speaks about these key areas this morning, his order is to achieve agapeo love in our spiritual family. That our soul and heart and word are the three things that are mentioned. Peter says, how do you get this new love? How do we have agapeo love? Listen to what he says. Seeing you have purified your souls. The first thing that needs to be understood that if we want agapeo love is that we have purified our souls, and we will go on with that. And how do I purify my soul this morning? I do it when I'm in obedience to living the truth of the Word of God. And if I'm not living the truth of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, I am not purifying my soul. The Bible makes it quite clear. Through the Holy Spirit then, having had our souls cleansed, we can love with an unfeigned love, which we'll speak about. And this love should be from a pure heart. So now we've got the soul, now we've got the heart. And this heart should love fervently. Because it's not as a human love, it's a divine love. That's why Peter goes on to say, it's not born of corruptible seed, but it's born by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the reason it so wonderfully can be adhered to this morning, it's because it says it's a love born by the Holy Spirit which abideth forever. Want to know you're going to love one another when you get to heaven? Whether you like it or not, you're going to spend an eternity together. To think that you're going to love him or her forever. I want to tell you that's what's going to happen. So he talks about our soul, he talks about our heart. And he talks about the main ingredient that will transform both soul and heart. And he talks about this word which abideth forever. Peter has got these three things to say. And he takes his readers back to the very, very first time that they encountered God through salvation. And he said, listen, I'm taking you back to the Word of God. You see, it was the Word of God which cleanses you. It was a day that you heard the Word of God and God said, you are a sinner and you need to have a relationship with me. And you can have one if you come through the cross of Jesus Christ, nearer, my God, to thee. And the day we came and went to the cross and we got our sin forgiven, we were cleansed. Hallelujah. We have been cleansed by the Word of God. We come into God's presence daily on the Word of God. But I want to tell you, that is the key. Are we obeying the Word of God through the truth of the Holy Spirit this morning? Are we living a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit this morning? The new birth is not born of corruptible seed. No one has been saved apart from being cleansed by the Word of God. The soul needs to be cleansed this morning. And if you've never had the soul cleansing, you cannot have a agapeo love. In 1880... a man called Philip, and I cannot pronounce his last name. Let me spell it for you. Perhaps someone can help me. S-E-M-M-E-L-E-E-I-S. That's quite a mouthful. Yeah, you're all thinking there. You're awake now. Hallelujah, Lord. They've come awake. Well, anyway, this man was born into a world of dying women. Hospitals were losing women and babies at an alarming rate. And this Philip was the first man to understand about washing your hands for cleansing, to prevent contamination. And so he decided he'd put wash basins everywhere he went to deliver a baby. And there in hospital, he had every wash basin and he washed his hands thoroughly. And the fact was, he lost fewer women and babies than anybody else in the hospital. In fact, it was significantly more. He introduced hand basins, so he could continually cleanse his hands. The fact was, no other doctor, no other nurse would believe him, or indeed, they chose to ignore his practice. They thought, this cannot be as simple as this. Philip died at the age of 47. His wash basins discarded. his colleagues laughing at him, and the death of 1,000 women ringing in his ears. He knew that in order to be pure and to not have contamination, he had to wash his hands. It was a simple procedure. And now when you go to hospital, what's the first thing you have to do? Put your hand underneath these automatic machines, which never work. Have you ever been into them? They never work. So you ring the bell and you go to the next one. And then you start having a game of lotto to see which one is going to work. And then you're told to wash your hands, and you're always washing your hands now. What a great practice. I want to tell you, friends, our hearts have to be the same. We need continually wash them. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's able to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness on a daily basis. We need to understand that, like Philip knew, that having your hands washed and clean got rid of contamination. David cried out in Psalm 51, wash me, Jesus, wash me, wash me. What did Jesus say to his disciples? Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. I want to tell you, without our being washed this morning and cleansed, we will die in the contamination of sin. We will die in the contamination of sin. Friend, we're born again, but we continually pick up dirt. We continually need a fountain. We continually need a cross. And if it just helps you to sit there on the morning singing Nearer, Nearer My God to you, whatever helps you to get into God's holy presence, I would ask you and plead with you. It may be a song, it may be a rhyme, it may be whatever happens. Friend, will you take a moment out with God, as we spoke last week, for cleansing? Because God wants to pour through his word, it says, this Holy Spirit, which will help us to love with an unfeigned love. That word simply means sincere. You see, God does not want hypocrisy in the church of God. There's enough of it in the world today. God said, when you love one another, you have to be sincerely, without hypocrisy. It's without putting on an act. We are to love one another. Love, love me do. You know that I love you. And we could have played that song all the way through. I know some people don't like that sort of thing on a Sunday morning meeting, but it just proves an illustration. Yeah, it does. You're right. It's a pity a man couldn't say that. Oh, friend, can I seriously ask you this morning, do you love indeed? Is your love sincere? I want to tell you something. Unless we can love what's here without an act, we are no better than the world outside. What did Jesus say to his disciples? All men will know that you belong to me when they see that you love one another. Not when the Holy Spirit pours upon you and you start healing the sick and you start bringing the dead up from resurrection. That's not what God says. God says everyone will know that you are my disciples when they see this love, this sincere, unfeigned love. I want to tell you about some missionaries. And they went to Greenland. They were Mormon missionaries. They were unable during the first year to make any impression whatsoever. They just could not get through to these people. Then there came an awful epidemic of smallpox, in which multitudes became sick. And the missionaries went out among the sick, and they ministered to their bodies, and they bandaged them. They did everything they could for them. They cared for these people in their distress. They buried their dead. These missionaries demonstrated love, and that's what made the difference. The leaders then said, would you now tell us about this God that obviously has driven you to care and to get contaminated along with us? This is what some people have said. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. What saved these people from Greenland and allowed these missionaries to tell the gospel was they saw something of the love of God. They didn't talk about the love of God. They acted with the love of God. There was no hypocrisy. They loved with an unfeigned heart. And they loved fervently. From a verb which means to stretch out the hand. Thus it means to be stretched out in earnest, resolute, intensely in love. It's 12 o'clock and we really need to finish. He goes on to talk about the soul. I've just put them on the board for you because the soul refers to your personal spirit. And this is the eternal part of our being. When God first created the world, He gave us a physical body, yes. But it wasn't a body until He breathed into Him the breath of life. I want to tell you, you will live forever. I don't care whether you belong to Jesus or whether at this moment in time you have not surrendered your life to Him. You will still live forever. The Bible makes it quite clear that you have a soul. And this is what God says about your soul. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became what? You are destined to live forever. What does he say in Mark? In Job 12:10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And he goes on to say, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul this morning? I want to tell you, God has spoken in his word in 1 Peter that we have to have that unfeigned love, that fervent love, since our souls, our innermost being, that which lives forever, has been cleansed by the word of God. We are built to live forever. And that soul which has been built forever has to be cleansed. And it has to love fervently. And it has to love with sincere act this morning. I think we're going to leave it there and go on to probably the next bit next week. See, many things don't last. Delicious meal, a good pair of shoes. We're going away in a few weeks and Abel's saying that she needs to go shopping and get a personal shopper. Because she needs new clothes. Her old ones aren't going to be good enough. Indeed, I've had these for 20 years and they're good enough for me and they'll last for another 20 years. Praise God. Like my soul, I hope they last forever, mate. But no, Abel says, you're coming with me to Debenhams. Please pray for me. And I'm going to be like a little boy when his mother comes. And that's what happens. And then she'll say to me, do you like this? And I'll go. You're only saying that because you want to buy it. So I'll say, okay then, it's not the right colour. Oh, well, what's wrong with it then? Can't win, can you? You can't win. And then she'll say to me, you've picked the first thing and you've put it on and said I liked it. I have to say, my wife isn't here, she won't listen to this hopefully. That's what I do. I grab the first thing, I put it on and say, I like this, and come out. It doesn't matter when there's no coordination. I'm not into that. If it's blue and yellow, green, well, it doesn't matter. I'm not hung up on it. I want to get in the shop and get out of it and go into the Apple shop. But I will say, no, that's not lasting forever. She says, look in the mirror, Eddie, and you'll see. And I said to her, the young people want me to go blonde. And they all went up to Avril last week, whispered into her ear, blonde, blonde. I have to say, young people, you need to be praying a lot more and talking a lot more. At the moment, she is not allowing it to happen. But I do look in the mirror, and I am getting older. As good looking as I am, I'm getting older. But isn't it good to know your soul's going to last forever? This body is going to die. But friend, the soul in which God has put into you and breathed into his personal spirit, he wants that soul to be a soul that loves indeed an act. A soul that loves with an unpretense act. And we'll talk about the heart next week because it's 12:05 and a bit later in Sardin. We're going to sing a song as we conclude now. And I want us to think about these words as we go out. What kind of love is this? And I want you to read those words as you sing it to understand the kind of love that the Lord Jesus Christ has. We are created and designed that we might reflect the one in whom has come into our hearts. If we want to continue the journey of our Christian faith with all the blessings and trimmings that goes with it,
These three verses must be embedded in our DNA. We must be cleansed and uncontaminated by the Word of God, which through the Holy Spirit gives us illumination. We must love with an unfeigned love, with complete sincerity, and we'll go on next week.